And right now on the phone, everybody in the chat room, is Sonny going to call in? And Sonny going to, is Sonny going to call in? Let me ask you. Sonny's on the phone.
I talked to him earlier, and he said he's going to call.
Okay. And that is Sonny Osborne on the phone. And I was talking to Sonny while we were waiting to come on the air that I had Joe Mullins on. I keep saying this morning. I don't know why 2:30 seems like this morning, but it was the start of the show, half hour into the show. And Joe has a great album out. It's called Listen, They're Playing My Song. I played 4 or 5 cuts from that and talked to Joe for a while. And it wasn't long before we were talking about playing backup banjo, and boom, he pops his name up, Sonny Osborne, as being his absolute idol and someone he learned so much from and knew you so much from being up in that part of Ohio. Couldn't say enough good things about him, and I wasn't paying him nothing to do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's flattering, and I'm not sure deserved, but I'll take it anyway. It's like when Gene Autry was inducted into the Hall of Fame, his induction speech was, he said, well, I don't deserve this, but he said, I've got, I think, rheumatism, he called it, or arthritis or rheumatism one. He said, I don't deserve that either.
So. That's right. Well, I've got, I have this picture, and honestly, Joe has the neatest smile, and I talked with Joe about it for a second. The show you all did up in Dayton several years ago, a big thing for Earl Scruggs. It was one of his birthdays or some big year of how many years he'd been in business or something. But I have this picture I snapped that hangs on my wall here. It's Joe and Tom Adams. And you, at this point, have the microphone, and you are asking Earl questions. Behind you is J.D., Robbie McCory, Jimmy Mills, and Bill Evans. And I said, Joe, you got the biggest smile. And he said, man, that was like a highlight for him. He'll never forget that. He told me everything that happened that day, how that whole thing came down. And, man, he's just standing there beaming through that whole afternoon session before the big show that night.
Yeah, that was it was in Xenia, Ohio. And it was kind of a tribute to Earl at Joe arranged that, did it himself, and it was good. It's a good thing.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was. And Earl was playing good, and we all had a good time. I mean, it was really nice. That must have been around, I don't know, 2000?
I think 2000, 2002 for some reason, but I have it on my camera, and if I dig up the photograph, I'm going to send a copy of it to Joe. He didn't have one from that episode, just one that I snapped as I was standing there, and I've got it scanned. I'll send it up to him. He said he wanted one, so.
Yes, he sent me one, too. I'm not going to have that, too. I don't think I have that.
Okay, all right. All right.
But I think that was more like maybe 2000 or 2001.
Yeah.
Maybe 2000 or even 99. I don't remember. But I do remember that day, though, and it was a good time. A lot of banjo players there.
Oh, man, there was tons of them everywhere. Couldn't throw a stick without hitting one. Yeah, that was good. And then the show was good, too. You're right. Earl was playing good that night. I think he was seated, but he was, you know, the thing about the Earl that I only saw in the late part of his career, because obviously I wasn't around in the early part like you were, but, you know, all other things aside, when he picked up a banjo, it was time to go, and he played, you know, pretty daggone solid.
Yeah, he did. Earl would get himself psyched up to where that he was actually in, this might sound funny, but he was almost in a trance when he went on, because, and when he came off, his eyes would be just huge and just almost hyperventilating. He really got excited. Earl loved the banjo. He really loved it as much as anybody I ever saw. And it shows in his playing, too.
You know, and that night, I think he had been, I don't want to say he'd been ill, but something strikes me, because we were in the audience, of course, for the big show. This is after this afternoon thing that I'm saying. You've got the microphone talking to Earl at that point, but He had a cold, I don't know. But, man, when he sat down and his hand was shaking a little bit, and I don't know if he did that when he was younger, I doubt it, but his hands were kind of shaking. But when they gave him the banjo and he got the picks on, man, it was just like solid as a rock.
His hands, ever since I've known Earl, and I've been since 1952 or 3, he's always been nervous. His hands were shaking, always shake. But the minute he hit that banjo head with his fingers, I mean, it just stopped right there. He was just as solid as you can get. It's like I've seen guys that would be just stone drunk and go on stage, and the minute they get in front of that microphone, it's just like they're sobered up completely. Hank Williams is a lot like that. He could be just almost out of it, and as soon as he'd get on the stage, he just did all change right there. But I've seen a lot of people like that, and Earl was like that with his hands. They'd just be shaking all over the place, but then as soon as he'd get in front of that microphone and put his hands on that thing, I mean, it was just altogether different from that point on.
So you say he had that shake even when he was younger?
I'm sorry?
Do you say he had that shake a little bit even when he was younger?
As long as I knew him, he did.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He sure did. As long as I knew him, he had that, though. I mean, he was just, I don't know if it was nerves or what it was, but he was like that.
If you're just tuning in, Sonny Osborne's calling in as he normally does on Saturdays, and we find something to talk about. Joe Mullins was talking how much he enjoyed your, you know, he made the comment about, I forget who told him this, it might have been Don Reno, said something about, you know, you play this and you've got your break, and then you still got 80% of the time you're not doing anything but supporting the band. And I think Joe has that ability to just be behind, you know, the rest of the singers, and there's one tune, the title cut to this new album, Joe's just kind of in the background and playing all those nice little tasty backup licks that you listen for if you try to play a banjo, and of course he immediately went to you as being the guy that put him onto that.
Well,
Joe, he's good at it.
A lot in earlier days, I've known Joe for a long time, and I mean, since he was, I guess 10 or 11 years old, something like that. And knew his dad real well. His dad, Paul Mullins, fiddle player, played the Stanley Brothers some, they're good folks. And Joe and I would talk a whole lot about the banjo. I mean, just a lot about it. And he put his time in, and it shows. It shows, too, because Joe's a good banjo player.
He really is. Good. He really is.
He understands what the banjo will do and what he can do with it. And if he's got limitations, you never know it. I mean, that's all there is to it. He doesn't let it show. And he's a good guy. I really like Joe a great deal.
He's a nice guy. I enjoyed, and I've met him before, but not like, you know, we talked, not like I knew him personally, but we had a nice conversation. I was glad he called in. He's up in Dayton. Doing his, you know, geez, he's got like 3 or 4 radio stations. You know, he's like Ted Turner up in Middletown and Xenia.
Yeah, I think he lives around Xenia. I wouldn't swear to that, but I think he lives around Xenia. That's where that one radio station is. Now, I think Joe may live in that area too, I think. I wouldn't swear to that either.
He said he lives on a farm, and he kind of travels back and forth in the Xenia area, is, I think, what he would call home if he had to attach a town to the name of where he lives.
Oh, yeah. Now, his dad, Paul, and Joe, when he was a kid, they lived in Middletown, Ohio.
Yeah. Hotbed for bluegrass.
20 miles south of Dayton.
Yeah.
Between Dayton and Cincinnati, Dayton and Hamilton. He lived there when he was a kid. I know that. And they lived there when I knew quite well.
Hey, Sonny, I had a fella on from New York in between Joe and you today, a guy named Mark Horowitz, who's still very active in the New York banjo scene, and I had asked him this question before, earlier this week, and I had him explain it as to why there were so many banjo players out of New York City, and he had a good answer for you, for me, which finally made sense to me. I didn't get it before, but there's so many banjo players that came out of New York City. Let me ask you this. You talked about Middletown and Dayton. Why was there such a hotbed of bluegrass up in that part of Ohio?
Because of Joe's dad.
That's what I thought.
because of Paul Mullins. Paul just strictly believed in bluegrass music and the Stanley Brothers. He really loved the Stanley Brothers. And he did the whole bluegrass music industry. He did it a world of good. He was on a radio station there, WPFB in Middletown. And Paul was so down to earth. I mean, just everybody could identify with Paul. Well, everybody called it Moon Mullins. But I was just doing this Paul. I didn't know him as that. But he was just down to earth, and his sponsors, they were lined up to get on his show, and he'd make fun of them. He'd make fun of them, and he had names for all of them. He knew them all personally, all his sponsors. And he was just a good guy and good radio guy, and people just really listened to him. And he promoted bluegrass music just as much as you can promote it. He really did. But I really, honestly, and Jimmy Skinner, before Paul got there, Smokey Ward was there, and they had kind of a lot of bluegrass on the station at that time, too. And then Tommy Sutton was up there. Les Bodine was on radio station on WING in Dayton. Tommy Sutton was on WONE, WPFB for a while, and they all promoted bluegrass music quite well, and it just really blossomed up there in that area.
When Bobby first, and I remember I've heard this story before about Bobby went into a radio station and sang Ruby, and was that one of Moon's, Paul Mullins' stations, or what was that, up in that area, though?
Yeah, it was WPFB in Middletown. Wait, this would be in 1947, I guess it was. WPFB had a barn, a huge barn, there on the property in Middletown. And, well, it burned and they put up a tent. But Bobby went down there, and he and two other guys, Junior Collett and Dickie Potter, I think was the other guy's name, they went down there and played, and Bobby sang Ruby, and they had telegrams and telephone calls to have him do that again, because it was broadcast. At that time, a 250-watt station, or a 500-watt station, or a 1,000-watt, which WPFB was at that time, could get out forever. I mean, it would just keep on going. You could get it for a couple, 300 miles away, and you can't do that now because there's so many radio stations, I guess. The airways are so crowded. But Bobby sang that song, and boy, they had a whole bunch of telegrams that came in to have him do that again. And that's really started his career right there. That's where he really started. Mm-hmm. So he's in Ohio. And the manager of the station at the time was a guy named Randy Daly, and he went to bat for Bobby a whole lot, and it was a good guy. But that was a good time too. Nobody could remember, but it was there.
Well, it seems to me, and I don't know where I heard this story, probably from you at some point, that he actually did it again. There were so many calls in, not just telegrams, that I think they did the Ruby song again that same time he was there, I think.
Oh yeah, he sang it twice that night. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they had probably three or four dozen telephone calls and probably 20 telegrams. They had telegrams a lot. And they had maybe 20 telegrams at that time for him to do that song again. Yeah, they did.
You had to pay. You had to pay money to send a telegram.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sure did.
Hmm. Wow.
That was. I don't know. In those days, that was a pretty good. It was a quick form of communication. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Real quick.
I guess now we text. I guess if Bobby had done that song now, there'd be all kinds of texts to the radio station or emails.
Text and email, yeah. Same. And that, the telegram, I guess email probably would be just about the same, because you could get a telegram through. I mean, it would go it was going through right now. I mean, you're going, I mean, it will hurt a little bit, but for the most part, that's all done. And I'll tell you one thing. Yes, I've said this before on this same show. The ribs is, that is a serious thing right there. That ain't nothing to be laughed about, because I mean, that is painful, really painful.
Well,
and you'd be surprised the people that I've talked to that's had broken ribs. I mean, unreal amount of people that's had broken ribs since I've had them. But yeah, I'm done with it. It's over, and it's a lot better now than it was.
Well, all right, I'm going to let you go back, and I think UK is about another loss or two from being an NIT invitee.
I don't even think they're going to make the NIT this year, and I'm not sure they deserve it, because I don't know, there's something about this team that is just not there. They're not playing together, they're not helping each other, and they're all of them is just one-on-one, seems to me like. I don't think Coach has really gotten through to them yet. I don't think.
Well,
but, you know, with all the recruits they've got coming in next year, if this bunch stays, they're going to be something else next year, I think.
Well, anyway, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think if they can get them to stay, that'll be be an unbelievable team. It'll be an unreal team. We're just, that's Sonny Osborne. Of course, we always talk about lots of stuff. Sometimes we touch on UK basketball if it's in season. Right now it is, at least for a little while longer.
Yep.
All right. Hey, listen, man, I'll talk to you this week, and we'll figure out what we want to do next week, all right?
Okay, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Sonny. I'll talk to you, man.
I'll see you.